Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the streets voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Yes, indeed. And we welcome you in here to the August 19th edition of D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. I'm Damian Barling along with Kenny Caraway. We encourage you to follow us on social media at D'Lo and KC. And not just follow us, don't be blind, follow us there. Interact with us. We got a lot to talk about today. Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee is going to join us coming up at 12:50. There is all sorts of news surrounding the search for a new general manager. And, Kenny, there's all sorts of news centering around the Sacramento Kings. So we'll talk to Jason Anderson at 12:50.
100%. Before we do anything, Damian, I got to give what is going to be a daily segment here because people have been asking me about it. You know, it came on when I was giving a shout out to the whole city and whole areas of the city. They were like, well, what about me? What about my? The guy was like, what about 209? So daily, I'm going to give a specific shout out to different places throughout the city. First one. This is my area, South Sac, man. I want to give a shout-out to South Sacramento, C.K. McClatchy, Burbank. No shout-outs to Kennedy. We don't do that. We don't fool with the Cougars. And, you know, Greenhaven, all that, Florin Road, you know what it is, man. Shout-out to y'all, man.
Okay, and also let's send some love to Solano County, man. As anybody please, who has stepped outside please. And seen all that ash on their car all over the ground, seen ash stuck in cobwebs, that's all coming from Solano County to all of our loved ones, friends, listeners, anybody out there, man, just know that our hearts, our prayers, and with you, we wish you the absolute best. We hope everybody can navigate the latest Northern California wildfire safely. And as difficult as the transition will be, we're going to attempt to transition. And if you're listening or if you're out in that area, if we could take your mind away from that stuff for the next 2 hours, man, we hope to do it for you. We got to talk about the Blazers, this hot streak they're on. At some point, maybe it's not a hot streak anymore. At just some point, maybe we have to start looking at the Blazers as one of the best teams in professional basketball. How much trouble are the Los Angeles Lakers in? Are people making an excuse for LeBron James? Dame versus Steph. We got all of this. Kenny, coming out of one single game last night, we've got all of those conversations to have. We have the top team in each conference. They went down. Rockets get a game one win. Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, they get a game one win as well. We've got another full slate of games here today. But we're going to start with the general manager. We mentioned the general manager search here in Sacramento. We mentioned Jason Anderson is going to join us at 12:50. It's not just the Sacramento Bee who is writing about it. Shams and Sam Amick, they're writing about it over there at The Athletic as well. And there's so many. You know, here's what we know. We know that the Kings have hired a search firm. That's about the end of what we know. Like, everything else seems to be... Now, there's speculation. There's educated guesses. There's educated speculation. And I think one of the things that I'm really eager to find out when we talk to Jason Anderson... I mean, there's already talks, which is the most Kings thing ever. There's already talks of a potential power struggle with... Joe Dumars, the owner of Vivek Ranadive, and this potential general manager who actually hasn't been hired yet. It's like, yeah, only the Sacramento Kings can create a problem for a position that hasn't even been filled yet.
Seriously. First of all, before we do get into that, I want to know, can I start a search firm? Can I start a search firm? I mean, I can get paid maybe about $1 million. And I can go through, you know, all these candidates. And then at the end of the day, I'll come back to the team and I'll say, you know what? After extensive research, you should hire Jerry West. You know what I'm saying? Can I get that work? Can I start a search firm here? D'Lo and KC search firm? Can we do that? I mean, all the information is out there. I don't understand it, but yeah.
Well, you know. Maybe. Did you ever watch Scandal? Like Olivia Pope? Maybe this is an Olivia Pope situation where, I mean, anybody can find out surface material. But maybe these guys are digging in a little bit deeper. You're learning personality traits. You're learning, you're learning like job history patterns. Like, how long was this person at this job? How long have they known, you know this person? How long have they been associated with the league? And hiring search firms, by the way, is it's nothing new in any walk of life. It's nothing new in the NBA. It's nothing new in any sporting league. It's probably not new for whatever your favorite team might be. And I'd argue that that's probably the proper move for the Sacramento Kings. Now, it's great to hire a search firm because I assume the process in this is the search firm. They do their due diligence with a variety of candidates. They figure out who might be the best fill for the job. They talk to their channels, back channels, various channels. And then they come up with a recommendation and they say, here, Mr. Ronadive, here is what we think. Here is who we believe may be the very best candidates for your upcoming job. That doesn't mean Vivek's going to listen. That doesn't mean Joe Dumars is going to listen. That doesn't mean anybody associated with the Sacramento Kings is going to listen to what the search firm has to say.
Though. That check still clears, though. So, yeah, you ain't got to listen to me. Just make sure that check clears.
So far, the winner in all of this is the search firm. The winner
That's
gets
why
the,
I want to start my search firm.
The search firm
D-Lo
gets
and Casey
the
dub. Search firm. Let's go. Let's get now this bag, Damien.
I mean, you're lumping me into this. I don't know the first thing about being a search firm. I mean,
we're not sure if a search firm knows the first thing about being a search firm. But the check is clear. Now that's a little dismissive of the job that they do. But I don't know. I'm all for it. I'm ready to start my own search firm.
I'm going to hire Jill Adge of King's Twitter to do all of my research on general managers because she has created quite the list, and we've actually seen. We've seen a variety of names hit social media from not I say social media, but we've seen the Sacramento Bee publish them, and we've seen the Athletic publish them. I'm sure you're going to be talking with Jason Jones here in the upcoming days, and he has an idea of who they might be talking to. And these are all great wish lists. Like we all put together, when we were kids, we put together what we wanted Santa to bring us for Christmas. But what it really boils down to is like, okay, are these possible? Like are they real? Like are these candidates who the Sacramento Kings are be interested? There are a lot of people in my lifetime that I have been interested in dating. That doesn't mean that they were interested in dating me. So like how realistic are some of these candidates that we've heard? Like we've heard general managers, assistants from the Clippers, assistants from the Mavericks. You obviously, if you're going to hire an assistant, Mike Zarian in Boston, if you're going to hire an assistant, you obviously want to hire one from a very stable organization.
Right.
You're not really hearing about the assistant general manager for, I don't know, the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm not sure, but I don't know. The New York Knicks. Can we get
one? I was about to say, in this instance, you actually can say you're hearing about the assistant.
Yeah, that's a great
point.
I was just thinking too. Has an agent been tied to the Kings yet? Because that's a hot trend. Rob Pelinka, former agent.
Bill Duffy Leon was one earlier that was late, but he dismissed it.
He's like, nah, I ain't about that. But I think that's one of the fascinating things about this position, particularly in basketball, is it's such a relationship position. And when you've got a guy like Ken Cantinella, when you're able to build an actual front office team, and this person excels at this and this person excels at that. I made jokes, but they weren't jokes. I don't really know what Peja did other than comfort Vlade. I know what Ken Cantinella did because Ken Cantinella has been doing that for a long time. And that's being in charge of the numbers. That is kind of flexing on the salary cap the best that he can with what's put in front of him. That's him, manipulating contracts to the best of his ability. He is a solid front office acquisition. But that general manager, that's the guy who you've got to have relationships. Like you've got to have relationships around the league. It's why Scott Perry was so successful in the short time that he was here. And it's why, from what we hear and what we've read, Vlade has been so unsuccessful in the sense that he was never able to establish relationships. He looked at agents as the enemy in a number of general managers across the league. I said he was extremely difficult to deal with. I will never forget after DeMarcus Cousins was traded, and this was the crux behind my whole frustration with Vlade's dealing, or maybe it's unfair to say it was Vlade's dealing with DeMarcus Cousins, but maybe it's more fair to say the Sacramento Kings dealing with DeMarcus Cousins, is Danny Ainge 2 days later was like, dude, I really wish they had told us he was available. When we called them a week ago, they said, nope, He is completely unavailable. We're not doing anything with DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to be in our long-term future. And general managers grew frustrated by that. And Danny Ainge talking about, yeah, we sure would have been interested in having DeMarcus Cousins on the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Damian, relationships is a big key to what you want to do in this league and being successful in this league. And that's why, look, I know this probably isn't great radio, but look, I'm not the czar of who they should hire as general manager. I'm not going to lie to the people, you know what I'm saying? But I feel the names that are being considered, Scott Perry, and I know a lot of people are, you know, dismissing him and they don't like his last offseason with the Knicks and things of that nature. I almost feel like he would be the safe pick because you do have a situation where if you keep Joe Dumars, there's a relationship there. There's a relationship with Cantonella. He has relationships around the league. He's respected around the league. And I know it was a while ago, but there is a track record of success for what he was able to do in Detroit. And I'm not saying any of these young guys that are assistant GMs or whatever the case may be can't get it done and they'd be wrong hires. I'm not going to say that. I don't know that. But I feel like Scott Perry would be the safe hire. And Damian, after going out on the ledge last time with the Vlade Divac, somebody with no experience, somebody that you were emotionally invested in as opposed to somebody that actually had credentials to do the job, do you want to take another roll of the dice? Wouldn't this be something where you would probably be a little safer and go with maybe the little more safer pick in a Scott Perry as opposed to somebody with their first time on the job?
Assuming that the names that we've heard are real, like assuming that all of those people that we've heard are interested, right? And that, yeah, of course I'll sit down with an interview with Joe Dumars and Vivek Ranadive. Assuming I feel like all of those names are safe in the sense of they have front office experience.
That's true.
Bill Duffy, you know, and I don't misunderstand what we're saying. That's been shut down and has been shut down by Bill Duffy himself. But Bill Duffy is rolling the dice.
True, any agent,
you know, that's rolling the dice. Or any, hey, Mitch Richmond says, I don't want to be on TV anymore. I want to run the Sacramento Kings. That's rolling the dice. I feel like virtually any other route than the one that you went last time is safer. Mm. I mean, even Elton Brand. I had such an issue with Elton Brand getting the Philadelphia 76ers general manager job because it was like, yo, you ran the G League team for like a year. And now you're going to be in charge of one of the most important, you know, in terms of, you know, if Philadelphia, whether they are successful or they fail, and you and I are kind of leaning in a certain direction as it pertains to this year's Philadelphia 76ers, they're going to be a note in history because of they were essentially the creation of the trust the process term, right? And that is a term that is used not only in all walks of sports now, it's used in all walks of life. And, you know, they really nailed that down here in the sports community. But that position that Elton Brand took was you're okay. The process is done. It's time to run with it now. Like, now we need to create a championship team. And you can argue whether he's been successful or not. And I'd argue this offseason is Elton Brand's most important offseason. And if he fails, you have to look at, well, look, another general manager with no experience failed at his position, and maybe that line of thinking is going to change. We're going to talk a lot more about the Kings when Jason Anderson joins us at 12:50. We're going to talk more about this general manager position, but we've got to talk about what happened last night. Dame Lillard goes dumb for the East
Dame
Bay
Dollar.
And the hot takes are flying, comparing him to another East Bay legend. We got that coming up here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Give us a follow at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. You can interact with the show for the entire day. And Kenny already being called to task. No love for Kennedy, man. Come on, KC. We got to show love to everybody, baby. What are you doing?
No, we ain't showing no love to the Cougars. That's just rule number one here at D'Lo KC. It's CKM for life. It's Lion territory, and no love for the Cougars.
did they beat you on the hardwood? Is that what it is? Like, you
I mean,
quite
when I was there,
no, I get it. Like, if you can't,
when
let
I was
go,
there, we
okay.
handled business. You know what I'm saying? Okay. My junior year was a struggle, but other than that, we handled business against Kenny. They already know what time it was when they came into the Lions. Then, you know, I'm just saying.
I love high school.
I see you, Noel.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. At D'Lo and KC, get us on Twitter. Also, follow the main account at ESPN 1320. Just real quick, we've got to dive into some local news before we get back to the playoff games last night. I want to thank Jesse and Charlie. They're handling business for us at the ESPN studios. They're doing a fantastic job, doing a lot of adjusting on the fly here in the first week of the program. So, Jesse and Charlie, I appreciate all of the work that you guys do. I know we acknowledge it privately, but I wanted to make sure we acknowledge it on the air as well. You're a big part of the show, and we appreciate you guys so much. The Athletic is reporting that the city of Sacramento has been awarded a National Women's Soccer League team.
Let's go.
And that's going to be here next year.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm all
I like
about
that.
That.
I like that.
You want to drop your other plug for the women's team that we need?
Oh, yeah. We need the Monarchs ASAP. ASAP.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying? We need moments like what happened last night in that Sky Aces game. We need some of that here in Sacramento.
And I know we normally save the things that we love about sports for the end, but could we throw in one other quick note, man? Angel McCautry last night rocked bright red lipstick, which is the trademark of Tina Thompson, the WNBA's leading scorer of all time, and she put out on social media, I want to pay tribute to Tina Thompson. And Tina, I don't know how she did it. I don't know what brand of lipstick she was using, but she had it on every single game.
Yeah.
It never came off, and you rarely – even in, you know, private moments, you rarely saw her without it. It was her ultimate trademark.
A legend, man. My girl Cheryl Swoops, too. That's why I used to always watch the comments. I mean, Cynthia Cooper obviously took off, but Cheryl Swoops, that was my girl since Texas Tech, man. So, yeah, shout out to that comments team, man.
Dude, that comments team was incredible. Oh, my gosh. Four straight championships to start the league.
Right. And
man,
it felt like,
team.
I know if you watched women's basketball, you knew who Cynthia Cooper was, but Cheryl was the star coming in, then Tina was, and Cynthia just came out of nowhere and was like the best player in the league for the first 5 years.
And oh, by the way, Dawn Staley was also on that team.
Yeah,
shout out to Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story of how that team disbanded?
No.
This was at the peak of the Yao Ming NBA thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Yao Ming was, like, running the NBA. And so the NBA and David Stern, his partnership with China was expanding. And the Rockets believed that they were owed a larger percentage of the money that the NBA was making in China because he was the Houston Rocket. And David Stern was like, no, like, it's the league office that's working. Sure, like, we're absolutely utilizing Yao Ming to expand our relationships in China. And now, you know, it's probably still a bit of a sore subject, but we know how the league expanded in China. And Houston was adamant. The Houston owner was adamant. No, I want a better split. And David Stern, you know how hard-headed he was. No. He was like, okay, here's what I'll do then. I'm going to get rid of your precious, beloved WNBA team. And he dumped them.
Wow.
It was a vindictive
play.
It wasn't David Stern that did that. It was the owner of the Houston Rockets that did that.
Oh, the owner got rid of
Houston was like, the owner was like, yo, okay, this is so special to you, right? This is your beloved team? Okay, I'm done with them.
Well, that's
and
trash.
He gave them 24 hours to find an owner.
Wow.
Like, you can find someone to take this team in 24 hours? It's yours. That team disappeared quicker
trash.
Than the Monarchs.
I would say
the
they probably need a team, too, in Houston. I mean, they got legacy there, and they supported it from day one. They got to get a team back, too.
The first four banners in the WNBA were hung in Houston, man, and some of the greatest players ever played there. And, the hot takes are flying after last night's game. The Trailblazers get the win. I know you do. I know you do, but you're not the only one, my man. The Blazers get the win last night. Their hot streak continues. And, you know, that's what I was saying before the break. I don't know at what point you start talking about, okay, maybe this isn't a hot streak anymore. Maybe we're just talking about one of the best teams in the playoffs. Portland's won five straight. Mm-hmm. I think they've won seven of their last eight. I think they've only lost two games since the restart. And as, you know, a lot of people started talking about, you included, Kenny, I'm worried about the Lakers' offensive issues. You know, if the Blazers are able to spread the floor a little bit, they could not only steal this game one, but they could steal the series. And you hit that one on the head yesterday, my man.
Well, I mean, look, you had the magic number of 60 for LeBron and AD. And while I'll get to AD in a second, it's not like he had a terrible game. LeBron had a pretty good game himself. So it wasn't a situation with them, right? But then you look at, and even Kyle Kuzma, he didn't shoot great, 5 of 14. He had 14 points. But it wasn't like he was bad. You could even make the argument that he should have had more opportunity out there. But the real issue that I had, when you said them boys get to 60, regardless, I was like, okay, where's the other 60 coming from? You know what I'm saying? And you go down that list, and you look at KCP with a 1 point, you know, to the point where people are signing petitions for him to retire early. Laker fans are ruthless in that aspect. All right, they want him to retire early. The other Morris twin, 5 points. Dwight Howard had 4 points, and I don't even think Dwight played that bad, but he didn't get the production that they need. Caruso, 1 of 6 for 2 points. I mean, where is Danny Green? He was four. He had 10 points, but he was 4 of 12, 2 for 8 from beyond the arc. Where is the offense going to come from? And Damon, we talked about it before the show. It's not even like Portland played that great. And they only scored 100, and they kind of struggled to get to 100, and they still got the victory. So just think of when somebody in Portland takes off.
That's the scary part for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's where I think their biggest concern needs to come from. Now, you mentioned the 60 number and how the Lakers don't lose when LeBron James and Anthony Davis combined get to 60. LeBron James had 23 last night. He actually had a monster triple-double, 16 assists. That's a playoff career high, 17 rebounds. Oof. He's the first player with 20, 15, and 15 in a playoff game in NBA history. So here we are in his, 16th, 17th season, and he's still sitting first. Do you want to revisit Father Time paying Mr. James a visit? Do you want to talk about that now, or should you just want to pretend that part didn't happen? Because I'm going to give you credit for everything you got right yesterday.
Father Time, he must have got stuck in traffic because he didn't show up to the bubble. He must be quarantined right now. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
he's not in the actual bubble yet. He's in quarantine, and we may not see him the whole time. But I'm just – he didn't look at last night. That boy was balling last night.
The Blazers shot 39.2%. And I know the Lakers shot worse, but the fact that the Blazers were able to steal this game, and you can't point to – Dame Lillard had his points. There's no question about that. But the difference between – and I know you want to go in on Anthony Davis. The difference between Dame Lillard's points and Anthony Davis's points last night is Anthony Davis – what did I just say he had, like 28? They were like the most invisible 28 points like you could ever – I don't remember a single – impactful moment that he had. I do this a lot with James Harden. I remember, you know, the last time, it must have been last season, that the Rockets were eliminated in the playoffs, and people were talking about, well, you can't put this one on James Harden because he had like 39. James Harden's baskets were so irrelevant at the time he was scoring them. Like, it didn't matter. None of his points were impactful. That's the way I felt about Anthony Davis last night. He got the touches. Dude, 16 assists. I look at LeBron. Where did they go? They certainly didn't go to KCP.
No, they definitely didn't go to KCP.
And you look at it and you go, okay, but everything Dame Lillard did yesterday had massive impact on the outcome of the game. And I think that was the difference between the two stars and two teams that shot relatively poorly.
Look, here's the thing. When you talk about Anthony Davis, right, I wouldn't even say it was a quiet 28. This is the bigger issue, Damon. It was a soft 28. Just a soft.
What do you mean?
It was just soft. Everything with these little jump shots. And, you know, the man is the biggest man on the court, maybe the most talented man on the court, you know, size and talent, pound for pound, everything considered. And he up here taking, you know, these little fadeaways and turnarounds and these little pull-ups from 12. AD, he's just not that dude, man. He's just not that dude. Super talented, but when the chips are down, he's just not that dude. He did it one time in his career, that series in New Orleans when they swept Portland, and he looked phenomenal. They went up against the Warriors. He didn't look as phenomenal after that, but it's the Warriors, whatever. But he did it one time in his career. Other than that, I've just seen time after time of him not being that guy. And he's not.
Okay. I don't really see the so if he had had the same shooting percentage and the same, you know, non-impact points, but he had scored them in the paint, would you have felt better? Because I don't get
I would have. I would have, and really? he would have more. Look, and it's a chicken and the egg situation because he would have more points. He would have more points.
Well,
he would
have
more rebounds. If he gets inside, gets on that block like a seven-footer is supposed to from time to time, he would have had a bigger impact on the game.
He had 28 and 11, but perhaps a bigger issue for Anthony Davis is he got to the foul line 17 times. It's not like he was invisible from the block. The problem is he was 12 of 17.
And that's an anomaly. I'll say that because AD usually don't miss no free throws.
Right.
He is a great free throw shooter for a big man.
Perhaps a bigger issue is the fact that LeBron was 4 of 7 from the foul line. He missed key free throws, but LeBron James to the foul line 7 times? I mean, you know, maybe you know, we've used this term. I don't know that we've used this term more. I think we used to use it with Kobe a lot. LeBron was a tater last night. He was trying to get people involved, but I have to point this out. How many times has a LeBron James-led team lost game one, been written off as the team isn't good enough, they don't have enough defense, they don't have enough scoring, they don't have enough A, B, C, D? I remember Oklahoma City, Miami. Mm-hmm. You remember what happened in that series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oklahoma City won game one. I remember it like it was yesterday. Stephen A. Smith going on SportsCenter saying, I'm telling you right now, I don't know how the Miami Heat can win a single game.
That was a good Stephen A., by the way. That was pretty good.
What happened after that?
That was a gentleman's sweep almost.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. We do this all the time. LeBron loses. We write him off. We've got excuses pouring in for him. We've got the team isn't good enough. They don't have enough this. They don't have enough that. We don't have fans. It is one game. In a seven-game series, we've got and Dame Lillard is the sweetheart of the restart. You know, with the Phoenix Suns now gone, we have all grasped and wrapped our arms around and fully embraced the Portland Trailblazers and what they're doing, and it's all good stuff, and blow the whistle hits, and he's dancing, and he's going dumb for the East Bay. He's pulling up from the logo, the literal logo at center court, and draining him like he's nothing.
Yeah.
But it's one game. Everybody, cool the hot takes down a little bit. Turn the burner down a little bit. It can simmer. Your take can simmer. We don't have to wait. There's no travel days. There's no extended breaks. We're not postponing stuff for TV time. We're going to be right back at this tomorrow. And I don't see the same outcome.
I'm agree with you. All right, Damian. I'm agree with you here in that it's one game. I said Lakers, we'll just say, I don't think I have a definitive game, but I said Lakers in six. I'm going to stay with that right now, all right? But there is cause for concern, and there's two things that come to mind other than what I talked about with where the rest of the scoring is coming from. Number one, Anthony Davis. You know, we joke with Laker fans a lot, especially on social media, and like when somebody doesn't play well or whatever, they'd be like, oh, he couldn't handle them lights, right? That's what they always like to say. He wasn't ready for them lights, right? Okay. And we just joke with him. But I'm going to tell you this. I spent 10 years in Los Angeles. There is a different type of pressure when it comes to being a Los Angeles Laker. I can compare it to being a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. They expect not only winning, they expect dominance. And I don't know if Anthony Davis is ready for those type of expectations and them lights, okay? I don't know if he's ready for them lights. That's number one. Number two, LeBron James is my guy. I love me some LeBron James. That's my guy. I don't look at him the way other people. People look at him the way that I spoke about Luka the other day, about crying and whining. So I'm going to be consistent here. LeBron has been setting up this narrative since the bubble idea was presented about, well, it's going to be different with no fans. And it's going to be difficult with no fans. I don't want to say because it's his first quote, but I'm just going to say, what's the first thing he went to yesterday after the loss? Quote, I'm going to continue to say this. It's different. This is a game with no fans. LeBron, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening to ESPN 1320 in the bubble right now, I'm going to tell you, D-Lo and KC, I don't want to hear that no more. Stop it. Stop it, LeBron. We ain't trying to hear that no fans talk. Stop it. And anybody jumping on that bandwagon, the Ryan Clarks, the Joe Vardens, y'all need to stop it too. Stop encouraging this nonsense. Stop it.
Good.
I'm good now because that needed to be said.
Okay. He doesn't throw away words. Like, he doesn't say something for no reason.
He's been prepping this for 2 months now.
Maybe he has. But if they win this series, it's hypothetically, play the hypothetical game. You know what hypothetical means, right?
Yes, sir.
That's a line from The Office. Like, don't like that. I'm oblivious to
The Office. I know that's your favorite show. Is it safe to say?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I got to get up on it. I mean, you swear by it. I got to get up on it.
I usually throw one or two lines in a day. I try to get one in. You know what hypothetical means? Not real. You can't go back to that. You can't bring it up again, right? Like, if you win the series, you can't say in the second round, well, it's weird playing without the fans. Like, bro, you just won the series. Like, what are we talking about?
Right. Yeah. Once again, I just want to say, I love LeBron James. That's my guy. But I can't let him ride on this one. I can't let him ride. I heard it the first time he said it, like in late July. I was like, no, Bron, don't start that. All right? And he's at the first loss, that's the first thing he goes back to. Stop it, LeBron. Stop it.
With all that said, dude had a triple-double. He's the first player with triple-double in postseason debut with multiple teams. He's the second oldest player, only to John Stockton, to record a playoff triple-double. He's the second player. I completely forgot this. Last night was his Lakers postseason debut. I'm not used to LeBron James being out of the playoffs, and it didn't even dawn on me that that last night was the Lakers with LeBron James. It is stupid because I heard all of the stories and saw all the videos about how, you know, this is the Lakers' first playoff appearance without Kobe Bryant. It's the Lakers, you know, first playoff appearance since such and such time. And it didn't dawn on me. Yeah, it didn't dawn on me.
Stop it.
I mean, that's pretty long, though. Was it like 7 years?
7 years.
I mean, that's...
Double up and then come talk to me.
In normal NBA societies, that's a long time. You know, for us, maybe not so much. I mean, Phoenix is going through they're going through... What are they at? They got to be about...
5 or 6.
8 or 9. No, it's got to be longer than that. I think it's up there. I think they're second to the Kings because, you know, Minnesota, they had their fluke playoff appearance in which I don't think they're going to make one.
Minnesota almost did double up. They got, what was that, 13 years?
They were ahead of the Kings.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, if they weren't ahead, they were neck and neck. But they, you know, they had theirs broken with their fluke playoff appearance on the last day. And now they can get ready for another drought. So congratulations to them. Dame Lillard, who we've been talking a lot about, 34 points, 23 in the first half. Dame versus Steph. Are you in on this? Do we have the clip of what Kenny Smith said last night on TNT?
How do you like that three, Steph? From, what, 36 feet?
I don't think you can shoot as deep as him, Steph. I gotta see it when you come back.
Oh, the recency bias is too much. It's too much. Who popularized pulling up from the logo? It's the light-skinned wonder out in the East Bay who lives there, not who's from there and plays in Portland. Come on. See, but we haven't seen Steph Curry, right? We haven't. It's what we talked about a couple of days ago when we were talking about the last thing you saw. It's never as beautiful, but it's never as ugly as you remember. Like, it's kind of right in the... Dude, we're really going to pretend like Steph Curry didn't popularize pulling up from a foot in front of the half-court circle and start talking about, I don't know if you can match that length. Kenny, come on now.
Now, look, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go with what Kenny the Jet Smith said last night. I don't know. Of course, I think Steph got it like that. But look here, man, and I did this maybe about a week ago. I think it was after the 61 when he needed all 61. I said, it is time to have the conversation. It is time to have the conversation, Steph versus Dame. Because don't get it twisted. Steph is my man's, all right? That's my man. You talk about whose man's is this? He's my man, all right? Love me some Steph Curry. But that boy Dame Lillard. If we're talking about resumes, obviously Dame cannot compete with a resume of a Steph Curry, two-time MVP, three-time NBA champion. Resumes, we're not even breathing that into existence. But when you talk about gameplay, and when you talk about actual ball, and if we was out at 24 and we could go and pick teams, Dame could, dare I say, Damian, Dame Lillard might be able to give it to you more ways than Steph Curry can. And he can shoot just as good. But he can get to the cup. He can break you down one-on-one. He can drop dimes. It's a conversation. It is a conversation. I don't care what the people in the East Bay like to say when they're like, oh, they want to play their six-minute videos talking about, well, why are we even talking about this? No, it's a conversation. It's a conversation.
Well, we're going to dig into this conversation, and we're going to dig into it with Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith is going to join us today on the show at 1:45. So make your plans to be with us. 1:45, Kenny Smith is going to be with us. If you haven't downloaded the Radio.com app yet, we strongly encourage you to do that. Download the Radio.com app. Just search Radio.com in your app store. You'll have to register. It's completely free. You could just register with Facebook. You can register with an email. It takes all of 2 seconds. Search ESPN 1320. Hit the heart button. Hitting the heart button is very important because, one, it saves us as your favorite radio station. Two, you get push notifications anytime D'Lo and KC go live. Plus, maybe we can send a push notification when Kenny Smith is set to join us at 1:45. Of course, Jason Anderson set to join us here in 10 minutes as well.
Damien, do you know that me and Kenny the Jet Smith have history? Not just our first names either. And Kenny the Jet Smith went head-to-head, went mano-a-mano on an episode of Pros versus Joes.
I recall this clip. Yeah. I remember seeing this.
Yeah, and I called him Kenneth.
I doubt
he remembers it, because I saw him maybe about a year or two later at like a travel basketball tournament or whatever, and I went up to him like, hey man, what's going on? I want the rematch. And then he kind of looked at me like, who are you? Why are you talking to me? And then I was like, remember Pros versus Joe? He's like, oh yeah, I remember. So that was like 10 years ago. You might not even remember that now.
That's all right. That's
but
good
we got
stuff.
History.
Kenny Smith joining us at 1:45 today. We'll get his thoughts. We'll ask him to expand a little bit on his feelings about Steph Curry and this Dame versus Steph comparison. We have also heard, and again, we warned you of this, the hot takes are flying following Portland's win last night against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Portland Trailblazers, greatest 8th seed of all time? Anybody in on this? You can connect with us, by the way, at D'Lo and KC. Share your thoughts on what we're talking about right now, whether it pertains to Steph Curry, whether it pertains to Dame Lillard. And I'm already looking at the Twitter feed. People are all over this LeBron James thing as well. At D'Lo and KC, if you haven't followed us, chime in with the show, mention us, and we'll be sure to show you some love here, as that's one of the best ways to communicate with us right now. Portland Trailblazers, greatest 8th seed of all time. Yes or no?
Off the top of my head,
way too long.
Off the top of my head, I'm gonna say yes. Off the top of my head, I'm gonna say yes.
I'm out. You got the show. You got the show. The rest of the day, you got Jason Anderson in 8 minutes. You got Kenny Smith in about an hour from now.
Name a better 8 seed.
Okay. How about this? Can we get through the series first? Can they win the series first? We can have a conversation.
They don't have to win to be the greatest 8 seed of all time.
You're going to tell me they're going to be better than the We Believe Warriors if they don't
That's
win the series?
That's their only competition.
The Mavericks won like 90 games that year. Dirk went fishing. Had to come home to get his MVP trophy. You remember that?
I recall. But I'm just right I'm okay, but not, I'm going to say that's their only competition. That's their only competition.
What about the Nuggets? Did they beat the Sonics?
Yeah, they beat the Sonics. This Blazers team would smack the Nuggets up. Robert Pack ain't guarding Damian Lillard.
Hey,
LaPhonso Ellis ain't guarding CJ McCollum and Carmelo. This team would smack that team up. Same with that 99 Knicks team.
Don't disparage the good name of Robert Pack here on this program. You can follow us at D'Lo and KC. Check us out. We're coming back. Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee is set to join us. He will give us the latest on the Sacramento Kings search for a general manager. That's all coming up here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee set to join us here in about 2 minutes. Mark Wong hit us up on at D'Lo and KC. Yeah, people are not feeling LeBron. They're not feeling that. I think LeBron James fatigue gets real. And I'm not sure if it's just LeBron James fatigue, but I also think there's a fatigue with greatness. Like it happened with the Warriors, and it happened quick with the Warriors. It happened with the New England Patriots. The Spurs are a little bit different. They're great, but they were kind of boring. They didn't really have any superstars, any flamboyant play. I mean, they had superstars, but they didn't have any like real like flamboyant, outgoing personality type guys. And I think people just get, when you're this great for that long, people get tired of it. And I think that's what's happening. I think LeBron jumped that shark a long time ago.
But you know what? You know what, Damian? I said a long time ago that NBA Twitter and NBA fans, they're going to miss LeBron when he's gone. And I still believe that. But last playoffs was actually pretty good. It was pretty good. And I thought we would miss LeBron a lot last playoffs. But maybe it's because the Warriors were there, but that Warriors-Raptors series was phenomenal with Drake talking to Draymond and back and forth. Like, it was great. So, I guess, you know, NBA Twitter and the league is in a little better hands than we thought.
I'd argue Kawhi Leonard's shot at the end of Game 7 against Philadelphia was the greatest shot in NBA history.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about this.
Well, we could talk. Think about it. The ball, everything. It's in Philly. It wouldn't have worked if it wasn't in Philly. The ball sits.
It was in Toronto, though.
Or Toronto, sorry. Toronto. The ball sits on the rim and hangs there. And Kawhi's reaction, and he's waiting for it to drop. He's waiting. Everybody, it's like the whole world paused. And then it fell in.
Yeah.
Crowd reaction was everything. Like it was flawless.
It was definitely a historic NBA moment. I'm always going to remember that shot for the rest of my life. I don't dispute that whatsoever. I have to think about the greatest one of all time now. Jordan over Utah might be the greatest one.
But there was time left on the clock.
But it was Jordan. He held that thing up, and you know, saying maybe this is maniacal, but he took the hearts right out of Utah. He got six. I mean, that's the one.
But
that's
there was time left. I mean, we saw Kerr do it. We saw Paxson do it. But when the shot is at the buzzer, and like you're dead, and you're not coming back to life, like it's over.
Derek Fisher.
Ooh, 0.4?
That came out of nowhere, too. Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Like, didn't see that come. There's one buzzer beater that we'll never talk about. You already know what time
it is. No, I don't even know what you're referring to. But if we go back to the play, does anybody remember the shot before Derek Fisher's?
Craziness.
The Tim Duncan shot?
He shot it like sideways. Falling away.
Remember what Shaq said post one lucky shot for another or something like that?
He said, hey, one lucky shot deserves another.
There it was. There it is.
Was that a good Shaq there? I'm not really a Shaq guy. But okay.
No, but all you do with Shaq is you talk slow. You kind of lower your volume. Like, I can't hear half of what Shaq says. By the way, we're working out some things in the studio. At least that's what I can gather through my headphones. Jason Anderson, Kings beat writer, is going to join us here in just a heartbeat. Hang tight. I promise we got him coming up. Matter of fact, Shaq got my attention last night when the Gone Fishing logo came up. And let's bring Jason Anderson in here. Jason Anderson, the Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Kings. Jason, did you see the clip with Shaquille O'Neal? Like Shaq almost alluding to maybe he played a part in Vlade Divac being gone.
Yeah, I did. I was actually watching. I saw that. With Shaq, I think it's hard to know. You know, Shaq likes to joke around a lot. It raised my eyebrows a little bit, but who knows what he meant by it.
I'm going to go with nothing. I'm going to go with he meant absolutely nothing. You've been, obviously, you know, for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years, it's never dull covering them. Given what you know and what you've reported on, and we'll dive into it, how optimistic are you that the Kings, that they might actually get this upcoming hire right?
at the moment, it's a little messy. I think they've got some things they need to work through on their end before you can really say you'd be confident in you know, this resulting in the right hire. Just the way this is kind of shaping up so far. But, you know, they have to get it right. So whatever they have to do between now and then, they need to resolve some of these issues and make sure they put themselves in a position to get the right guy for this job.
And Jason, one of the things that I was worried about when they made the decision to move on, well, resign, made the decision, whatever you want to call it, when Vlade Divac was out as general manager, is not necessarily him leaving because maybe it was time for him to go, but having everybody on the same page, having a distinct plan of what we're going to do moving forward if we're that front office. Do you get the feeling, do you get the vibe from everything that you've been able to find out and everybody that you talk to that they are on the same page, they're a unified front when it comes to the search of this next general manager? Are they on the same page in that Kings front office?
I don't think so right now. I don't think so. I think this happened rather suddenly. We heard something might happen the day before it did. Up until that point, I had been hearing that nothing was likely to happen given, you know, sort of the circumstances this year with the injuries and then you've got the coronavirus and the financial losses on top of that it just might make sense to kind of stay the course, ride it out. Let's see how this team looks next year, hopefully with better health. But that changed. It changed and it seems to have changed pretty quickly. Over a period of a couple of days there at the end. To your question, the sense I get from talking to people around the league is that Joe maybe thought he was moving into the, you know, a president's president of basketball operations. And why wouldn't he? He was told, you know, we want to transition power to you. And away from Vlade, and that led to Vlade stepping down. So, you know, I don't think that's necessarily Joe's fault if he was under that impression. But now it's looking like that's not the case. I was asked by an actual potential candidate for this job, is Joe hiring the GM or is Vivek hiring the GM? And I didn't know how to answer that question. I don't know. The Kings provided a statement to the B yesterday from Joe, and it says pretty clearly he'll support a national search for a permanent GM, and the search will be run by an outside firm, and Vivek will have the final decision-making authority. So that clears up some of that, but there have been a lot of questions around the league about, you know, does Joe want this job for himself, and what does that mean to potential candidates who might be interested in it?
If you listen closely, that sound you hear are Kings fans collectively slamming their heads against their desks or their, you know, work at home areas as you talk about what feels like a potential power struggle already emerging between Vivek and Joe Dumars, or perhaps Joe Dumars in this general manager. Like, how do you hire someone? And this is the thing that I've been fascinated about in reading your work lately, is how do you hire someone for a job that you want? That's the part I don't understand. If you're Joe Dumars, how do you, like, okay, I really want this job, but if you're not going to give it to me, I guess give it to this guy? Because wouldn't you, like, immediately, you know, business survival instinct, you hire someone that you can, almost like the Jerry Jones thing where you hire someone that you can micromanage. If Joe Dumars wants the GM job and Vivek doesn't want him to have it, shouldn't he just be removed from the whole process? I'm confused by this.
I'm a little confused by it, too. And I've asked some pretty direct questions that have not been answered in a direct way at this point. You know, it is problematic. Look, it's problematic for a couple of reasons. One, Joe is Joe's immensely qualified for this job if he wants it, and should be considered as a candidate if that's the case. But if that's the case, you can't necessarily have him involved in the search. And the reason that becomes a problem is because, you know, you have these tiers of candidates out there, and a couple of them on the list that we've reported are currently general managers. And you know, as I was, you know, as one source told me, you're in this business when you go into somebody. So, you know, they're not necessarily going to attract the top candidates if you're coming in to share power. You know, if they really want the top guys who are available, they need to offer, you know, complete control.
Jason, we're hearing different reports about they may be okay with going with this search into the draft, into free agency. I look at that situation like this team needs to improve now, and I don't know how you talk to a free agent and say, hey, come to our team, when nobody at that point, you could have an interim general manager. You don't know who's making the basketball decisions. Are these the same things that you're hearing, that they're willing to wait this out for as long as they need to?
I don't have clarity on that, and I don't know. I have asked. You know, there was one report in the first couple of days, I believe it was a Yahoo Sports report that indicated that they might be willing to take up to a year to decide. Jeez. And I don't know. I don't know how that works. How that looks. If you know, one issue you have with the draft and free agency coming up is why would you have one person making four draft picks and signing free agents and letting some key guys walk away potentially or be traded if they're not going to have control of the roster, you know, after that point. So that dynamic doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why you would do that. And this leads me to believe the Kings are going to realize that it might be in their best interest to get this done before the draft happens.
Kings beat writer Jason Anderson with us here on D'Lo and KC. What was your opinion of Vlade as a general manager?
Very well intentioned. I think, you know, I think that there are two sides of this story. Part of it is sad in a way. Just because of the ties to Sacramento and his history here, and what an amazing story it would have been if you could have had, you know, kind of this homegrown front office finish what they couldn't do, you know, 20 years ago when they fell short of winning a title. It would have been an incredible story, happy ending for Sacramento, for Vlade, Peja, everybody involved. But you know, there were just there were some missteps. There was a lot of inexperience. He made some good moves too along the way, I thought. But you know, a few of those decisions are just, I don't know. I don't want to use the word irredeemable, but you can't come back from passing on somebody like Luka, for instance, that, you know, whatever happens that, is going to define you unless, you know, somehow you manage to lead the team straight to the top, you know, in the next 5 years after that happens. So, you know, a lot of the criticism was fair, and I don't subpar. I guess if I have to answer the question directly, I don't know that he was up to the job. He maybe wasn't quite ready for it when they gave it to him, and then you know over time it became clear that you know maybe it was a little bit too much for him.
Great work, Jason. We appreciate you so much for joining us.
No, absolutely. Hey, guys, congratulations. I love the show. I've been listening. I couldn't be happier for you both.
Thanks, brother.
Oh, that's awesome, man. We really appreciate that. Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee, the Sacramento Kings beat writer, here with us on D'Lo and KC. If you missed any part of that conversation with Jason Anderson, make sure you download the radio.com app. You can use the rewind feature. It's just like a DVR. You missed the interview? No problem. You tuned in late? No problem. Just download the radio.com app, search ESPN 1320, hit the rewind feature, skip back to the beginning of the interview with Jason Anderson, and not only will you get the interview in its entirety, you'll get the rest of the show. You won't miss Kenny Smith when he joins us coming up at 1:45.